We're finishing. We're adding to our last episode.
Yeah, and I appreciate, you know, that you kind of keep coming back to the big G, little G sort of thing. And what I love about these conversations is I'm doing the best I can to stretch myself and be open, and I know that you are too. So I'm not going to always be on the same page, but like I keep coming back to the big G, little G thing because you keep coming back to
it. Yeah, I want to finish it too.
New meaning that's personal for me because I can accept a belief or I can embrace if I find my own experience with it, right? So that's what our conversation does for me.
Because our conversations make us grow and we want to make other people grow right. too. So it's about raising everybody up.
Yes. So when you said the big G, little G thing was like, we're all gods, we're all part of it together, even though maybe not worshipped, but God needs us too. Or he said it the way...
He doesn't need us. He created us.
I think he does.
We're his prized possession. We're his masterpiece.
This is where I'm going to bring your G's home.
Okay, good.
For me.
Okay, do it.
It's me trying to find some of my self-worth with God, too, doing what I need to do, not just asking to do what I think he needs me to do. And I'm just getting to understand it more. Is it possible that life's getting down? I've been down, and I wanted to say, I'm just not worth it anymore.
I think a lot of people are going to have issues coming up if they don't already with their value and their worthiness.
And here's what God said to me. This is with little G and big G coming home for me. Chris, my name is. I need you too. And I go, no, you can't need me. But I do. Because you live me in your story. And we're all part of a greater story. We each have our own chapter. I need you just as much as you need me. Otherwise, I'm an idea. And then Christmas this year, I thought, we just keep talking about what God gave us, what Jesus gave us. And don't get me wrong. Amazing. But do you suppose Jesus gave God a story? To bring him even more to life, collectively. He said, he gave God a Christmas present too. If that supports this whole thing, we're all important. If I can start to look at it like that, not separate myself from the big G by seeing where he's showing me that I am a G and all of that, then I understand that for me to ever think anything other than I'm blessed to be a part of my own life would be treason at best. You know, I mean, it'd be like spitting in his face thing. But I struggle with fear, and I struggle with shame, and I struggle with self-pity. Those are the ones that creep up in my psyche, my entire being.
Those are common.
All of those things for me, though, separate me from you. They separate me from him. And I'm telling him, you don't love me. And I don't believe you. Oh, no. I don't want to do that.
Because then you're saying you're not good enough either. And you know what? That's why we have the suicide issue that we do in the world today. That's why we have the mental health crisis that we have in the world today. And so much more, way more. But I want to give our listeners a visual interpretation. Okay. So the way that I look at the big G and the little G is that the big G is this huge puzzle, okay? Pretend you're seeing an all-white puzzle. And all the little tiny puzzle pieces are the small G's. Do you know what it's like to put together a puzzle and have one missing piece?
That's frustrating.
It's disappointing, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, disappointing, frustrating. Because you've worked hard for this puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. And so what do you think, from God's perspective... He's got all of us. He does need us because we're all pieces of this puzzle. And so this interconnectivity that we have, and I'm going to use the word spider web because I'm going to use the beauty of the spider web. Not like us, because we can look at a spider web in a negative way. Yeah. But think about the beauty of the spider web and how that spider, how magical that silk is woven. Okay? This is the little G's, this beautiful puzzle. And it's all white. Everybody's washed clean because we're forgiven. You got all these tiny, tiny, tiny pieces. And keeping that puzzle all those pieces together, how valuable that those puzzle pieces are to you. A puzzle is just a puzzle. We're much more than a puzzle, but we are God's puzzle. So those small g's all make up the big G puzzle.
And not as independent pillars to God.
We are not separated from God. We are
from each other.
But we're not separated from God. We are pieces of the big G God.
And I'm not saying we're separate, but too often times I feel that there's a general feeling or message or my interpretation or observation is that it's easier to accept that God needs me and I need God, but and you need God, God needs you, but you and me, no. It's a package deal.
Because we're connected.
Love your God, love your neighbor, love yourself.
You are not your brother's keeper. No. You are your brother.
Exactly. So I'm not going to grow until I can understand that everybody is an equal part of the greater whole, even the ones, somebody that maybe has hurt me or could even say an enemy. That's why I love my enemies, because we need each other. And even when we don't feel like we do, we really do. And I think that's hidden too much. You know, I don't think we embrace that as much as we could or should. Or we're asked to do, I should say. Because you did say, he said he doesn't need us, he created us. I would say the only thing I would add to that area to change that a little bit for me is just the thing that why would he do something he doesn't need to do if he's all that? He wouldn't. He doesn't make mistakes. You know, if he created me, he needs me. And I can't let myself feel like he doesn't need me and that I'm a mistake because I'm a miracle. You're a miracle. Everybody's a miracle. And he doesn't need me. Otherwise, he wouldn't have wasted his time doing everything that he did. He wants us and needs us. But and to do it for other people as well as ourselves, that's a killer right there, too. That one's hidden from my field of consciousness.
Well,
being able to forgive myself and love myself.
But that's ego. Mm-hmm. That's ego right there.
For sure. But that's part of the growth in the process. That makes it so much more special.
But it's through
robots.
And I'm not saying ego is a bad word, but think about through the generations. Think about your great grandpa's generation, their whole generation, and what they went through in their lives because of, you know, that there was manipulation and control, and you know, the Great Depression was orchestrated. Mm-hmm. Okay, it wasn't an accident, it was orchestrated by one of the seven deadly sins, at least. I'll take that back and I'll use it in a different way. The Bible verses in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, it says, if your eye is full of light and your whole body is full of light. Okay, that sort of thing. But some people might actually think that they're doing the right thing, even in today's world. They think that they might be doing the right thing from their perspective, but they don't see how it affects everybody else.
I think that happens a lot more than we know. I mean, I know I can see it myself. I'm going to be judge myself before everybody else, but then that limits me to being able to be useful and contribute. So I agree with that. I
want to bring back up one more time Freemasonry, because I don't want to scare people.
Yeah, no.
Now, I've really studied Freemasonry in really a lot of depth, okay? And it was kind of a scary place to go because I was told, stay away from it, stay away from it, stay away from it. Now, an entire group, no matter which group we're talking about, unless every single person stays with the same intention of doing evil, an entire group cannot be corrupted unless people surrender to it, just like what we were talking about earlier. So Freemasonry is not a bad group. It's meant for a really good reason. Are there bad people in it, or people with evil intentions, I should say? Or maybe they don't even know that they're evil intentions, kind of like the eye, the eye of understanding, knowing if we're doing something good or if we're doing something bad, or thinking we're doing something good, but it's actually not. This is the same story of Hitler.
Yeah.
Exactly the same story of Hitler. Hitler thought he was doing good. But so Freemasonry, it might be corrupted with some evil intentions.
Mm-hmm.
from the seven deadly sins. I mean, that's where the, everything goes back to if you go look at the root causes of things. And maybe there's something even deeper than the seven deadly sins from the ancient times, the original interpretation before the Bible even. Okay? So, I mean, things can go so deep, I think.
But to your point, though, it's tied to that. Now, look at, you know, you said the Great Depression was orchestrated and by the Southern States. I think I'm saying it in a different way, but I totally agree with you. Anytime that something works out too well and I focus too much attention out of balance and put my attention on something greater than what truly is, that's out of balance. And that cyborg is going to correct itself, just like the ozone world, just like everything else does, because he created an imbalance. It was orchestrated because we didn't know balance, and we wanted to take more. That's how we orchestrated it. And then people get, you know, political hungry, too, you know. But the thing is, if we were good stewards of it, it wouldn't have happened. We can't take more than we're giving, and it can't be about what I have, and I can't hoard, and I can't be the black horse with the scale, and, you know, I just, it's the idea of that whole balance and appreciating everybody and everything, we wouldn't have that problem.
So going back to Freemasonry, understanding that the whole group, the creation of it, is not bad. There might be some, you know, different intentions today, but being that I studied it, I see where it came from. I mean, you're talking about generation to generation, exiles into different countries. Think about the Knights Templar and the Crusades that are happening, and then the groups before the Knights Templar that turned into or connected or merged with the Knights Templar, or however you want to put it. Because when we read history, who wrote it?
More people have been killed than
the winner wrote it, right? So, or whoever wanted to write it from their perspective, or whoever was in charge, you know. So, but the original group actually stems from John, the evangelist, the one that wrote John the Gospel, John 1, 2, 3, the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
John, those books are absolutely amazing, okay?
Yes.
Especially, well, the book of Revelation is really hard for people to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John are so beyond anyone's imagination about what he truly, really says in there.
Mm-hmm.
And even in John the Gospel, it's really cool because he talks about the beginning of the earth, or the beginning. He talks about the beginning again, just like Genesis talks about. And you know what the beginning actually means in the Bible? Everybody talks about the end, the end, the end, the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It says, actually, if you read the subtitles in your version of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
it says the new age. It's not the end of the world. We're just starting a new age. If you understand the ages of time.
And for me, though, so then how about this, though? I like this because there's so many different parallels here, and I think that's what makes it always so special. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John were four different stories with the same experience.
Yes.
They're slightly different. Why? Because I can never base my life on one person's observation or opinion, whether it's a pastor leader.
Exactly.
Whether it's you or me to you or you to me. It's a piece of data that's always worthwhile so long as I'm finding a way to have it answered. And I'm not going to find that in another person alone. I have to then go ask, knock, and seek and find it. And I'm finding that God will show it to me in his way to me about the answer I seek. And I use information to help steer me in that direction, but I can't put my faith stock in a small g over a big g because somebody says, this is what it says. Well, that's an interpretation, which is a part of the whole, and I don't want to stop there. You know, I don't want to, like, block people anymore because I would have said, you know, all the wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, if you weren't who I was, because that's what I thought I knew. No, when I do that, I'm the wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm that character when I do that. So I want to be able to be open-minded enough to stretch myself, but never have the answer. Because if I have the answer, I'm no longer open-minded.
Or is there an answer? Sometimes there's no answer.
I don't think there can be.
And that's why I like the line from another one of my poems, the conclusion is the illusion. Right. Or the conclusion is only the illusion.
The only word, the only thing I can think of is when something falls into the bucket of real wisdom, it can't be sold, twisted, or manipulated. It just is, and it grows with living it. And there's no debate. Nobody can debate it, no matter who you are. That's maybe we're getting closer to it.
Well, wouldn't you say that that's love?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
And that's the whole goal right there?
Yeah, and it's all lived out of an entire state of being, not a particular sense that I'm keying off of because of their just words, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to have depth in that, you know, to get the full breadth and understanding.
Now I have to say 2 years ago, because last year nobody can travel, really.
Yeah.
But right. Now I have to say, because it's 2021 now, two years ago is when I went to Patmos. I don't know why, but I had that calling in me that I needed to go to Patmos. And I went to Patmos. Yeah. And it's an impossible island to get to. And I made it there, and my experience there, I thought maybe I would experience something, right? Maybe I would. And the lady that gave me a tour, she studied theology, and she lives on Patmos, and she understands a lot. And I appreciate her so much, because most pastors in America can't get past what they were taught in theology school. And what they were taught in theology school is just a box.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely separated from the truth. It's only the part that they want people to hear from the Bible. So it's a little bit of...
I didn't say it's wrong. I just wanted to say it's not right. Fully formed.
You know? And then I'm not saying it's wrong either, because in the prophecy of Daniel, it talks about the church and how the church is transitioning. So it's all there if we want to study it. It's right up front of our eyes. But we need the open-mindedness, mm-hmm. the understanding, the discernment from God to understand it.
Right.
And then it's pretty exciting, the whole wisdom part of it.
And I love that, too. Like I'm in a 12-step recovery program, too, right? So and I've had great spiritual growth there as well. But I've kind of felt like for a while there, I'm kind of past that, you know. Yeah. I'm liking it too, the churches in the box, maybe we're past that stage. But then I realized, when I start thinking I'm better than or past out of as a state of being, you know, that I'm graduated from or I have arrived somewhere, then I'm losing, and then I personally I feel a little colder, and I'm losing something. I can't understand why, because I'm still working hard at it. I'm forgetting this part that helped me get there. And I grow with people who are maybe not in the same place that I am. And I am able to contribute, and I get back. It keeps me grounded in the roots as well. So church isn't the same as it was